Okay, so you're here to get the lowdown on Accutane Right isotretinoin mine. And I bet you want to understand it really well without getting lost in the weeds. So we've gathered a whole bunch of sources for Osseo. We've got the official medical guidelines, of course, but we've also got those real-world experiences from Reddit. Oh, and we even found a pharmacist on YouTube giving some practical tips. Plus, we're even going to think about how all of this applies to like a hypothetical listener. Let's call her Meg. Sound good?
Sounds great. Yeah, so the goal here in this deep dive is to pull out all the really important stuff from all this info. We want to give you a super clear picture of, what it's actually like to go through Accutane treatment. And we're going to zero in on the side effects that tend to pop up, the ones everyone talks about. And most importantly, we'll give you the tools and strategies to deal with them effectively. So think of this as your Accutane survival guide.
All right, let's jump right in. And I think we should start with what's probably the most common experience on Accutane? Dryness. And we're talking dryness everywhere, skin, lips, eyes, even inside your nose. I mean, it's clear from pretty much everything we read that this is like a major effect of the medication,
Yeah.
because it basically reduces your body's ability to produce its natural oils.
Right. And what I find really interesting is just how consistent this is across all the sources.
Yes.
I mean, the medical textbooks explain, the science behind it, why it happens. But then you hop over to Reddit, and it's like a constant stream of people talking about their struggles with dryness and
Yep.
sharing tips. Even the YouTube pharmacist spends a good chunk of time on this. So it really does show how central dryness is to the whole Accutane experience.
So let's break it down by body part, shall we? We'll start with skin. The big advice here is to moisturize frequently, and I mean frequently. But you gotta use water-based moisturizers. Brands like Cetaphil, CeraVe, Neutrogena, and Vanicream are recommended everywhere. And the trick seems to be to slather this stuff on right after you shower while your skin is still damp. That way, it really locks in the moisture.
Yeah. And the reason they stress water-based moisturizing, both doctors and people on Reddit, is that you're trying to put that moisture back in without messing with the way Accutane is working. Accutane reduces oil production, so you don't want to add a bunch of heavy, oily stuff back on top. And applying it on damp skin helps it soak in better, too. The YouTube pharmacist actually specifically says to avoid thick, greasy moisturizers, probably for that very reason. They might not actually hydrate as well, and they could feel all heavy and gunky.
Makes sense. Now, Reddit is a gold mine for practical tips. Lots of people talking about being really gentle with their skin. Like, some folks only wash their face once a day, or some even just rinse with water in the morning, just to try and keep some of their natural oils. There were also a bunch of people raving about using body oils, Lubriderm lotion, and get this, slathering Vaseline on their hands at night and then wearing cotton gloves over it. That sounds intense.
Yeah, it's a good illustration of just how dry it can get for some people and how creative they get with solutions. The thing is, doctors can give general guidelines, but what works best for each person can be really different. So it's cool to see people sharing what they figured out through trial and error.
For sure. Now, we've been talking about this hypothetical listener, Meg, and let's say Meg has eczema. Something like that widespread dryness from Accutane could actually trigger a flare-up. And that's a concern that came up in a few sources.
Yeah.
So, what would you say to someone in Meg's shoes? What specific advice would you give?
That's such an important point. You have to be really careful with Accutane if you already have a skin condition. If the dryness from Accutane causes eczema to flare up, doctors will often prescribe topical corticosteroids, things like triamcinolone desonide or hydrocortisone, that kind of stuff. But for more mild flare-ups, you can actually get 1% hydrocortisone cream over the counter, but you shouldn't overuse it.
Got it. So what about more natural approaches? For the general dryness and for potential eczema flare-ups, are there things people can try at home?
Well, there's some advice that seems to be pretty universal. A humidifier, for example. That's good for everyone. Just adding moisture to the air can really help. Another thing is taking lukewarm showers instead of scorching hot ones. Hot water can really strip your skin of its natural oils, and you definitely don't want that on Accutane. Oh, and colloidal oatmeal baths or lotions, those are really soothing. It can help calm down inflammation, which is great for eczema. You can also try natural butters like coconut or shea butter. They're what they call occlusives. Basically, they create a barrier on the skin so moisture can't escape. But you always want to do a patch test with those, especially on your face, just in case it causes any irritation.
Makes sense. All right, let's move on to lips. Because let's be real, Accutane really dries those suckers out. The one thing everyone agrees on is lip balm, lip balm, lip balm. And I'm talking all the time. Our sources listed a ton of recommended brands. Aquaphor, Vaseline Cortibalm, Eucerin Intensive Lip Balm, Burt's Bees Overnight Lip Treatment Vanaplay. Oh, and even Lancino and Lenolin nipple cream. No, that was a surprise.
Yeah, that one threw me off at first, too. But lanolin is, like, super occlusive. And that's what you need when your lips are really chapped. It basically forms a seal over your lips to prevent moisture from escaping. Now, one thing everyone says to avoid is lip balm with mint or menthol, especially if your lips are already cracked. Those ingredients can actually make the dryness and stinging worse. If you're dealing with a really bad cheilitis, you know, that's like when your lips are super inflamed and cracked. Dr. Dan's Cortibalm is a popular choice. It has a mild corticosteroid in it. And if the cracks get infected, a doctor might prescribe an antibiotic ointment.
So for everyday use, it sounds like those plain occlusive balms like Vaseline and Aquaphor are your best bet. And then there are some natural things you can do, like gently exfoliate any peeling skin. But be careful not to tear it. And of course, stay hydrated. Oh, and try to avoid licking your lips. I know it's hard when they're dry, but it actually makes it worse. Some people even put a tiny bit of honey on cracked areas.
Yeah, honey's interesting because it has natural antibacterial properties, and it might actually help with wound healing. And that whole stay hydrated thing, it really shows how you need to tackle dryness from all angles, what you put on your body and what you put in it.
Right. Moving on to eyes. Dry eyes are another big complaint. And the main advice is to use lubricating eye drops a lot. You know those artificial tears? The YouTube pharmacist mentioned Hypromelos as a good ingredient to look for, and brands like Sustain and Refresh came up a lot too.
Now, if you wear contacts, you might run into problems. Your eyes might get so dry that contacts just aren't comfortable anymore. You might need to use drops way more often or even switch to glasses for a while during your Accutane treatment. Definitely talk to your eye doctor about it. And for super dry eyes at night, you can try a thicker ointment. Something like Refresh PM will last longer.
And what if those over-the-counter drops just aren't cutting it? You know they're not helping enough.
Well, that's when you gotta call your eye doctor. They can prescribe stronger stuff for severe dry eyes, like eye drops with cyclosporine or even steroid eye drops. These can help with inflammation and boost tear production.
Oh, also, if you find yourself using artificial tears all the time, like more than a few times a day, it's probably best to switch to preservative-free drops. That way you're not irritating your eyes even more with the preservatives.
Got it. Now, there are also some natural things you can try, like warm compresses on your eyelids. This can help stimulate the oil glands in your eyelids, which help make tears. And just like with skin and lips, using a humidifier can help too. It adds moisture to the air, which can ease dry eye symptoms.
Yep.
It's funny how humidifiers come up for all these different types of dryness. Really goes to show how much the environment can affect those Accutane side effects.
Totally.
All right, last one in this dryness category, nasal dryness. This one can be pretty annoying and it can even lead to nosebleeds. The main advice is saline nasal spray. You could also try putting a little Vaseline just inside your nostrils. Just a tiny bit though. For brands, Air Nasal Gel and Arm & Hammer Simply Saline Nasal Mist were mentioned a few times.
That YouTube pharmacist had an interesting suggestion. He said to put a thin layer of petroleum jelly on the outside of your nose, you know, especially if you live in a dry climate. But he was very specific about not putting petroleum jelly inside a child's nose. And for people who get nosebleeds, a lot, doctors might tell them to put antibiotic ointment inside their nostrils. That helps with any irritation or infection. In very rare cases, they might cauterize the blood vessels. That's like sealing them off.
Right. So over-the-counter saline spray or gel is usually the first line of defense. And of course, the humidifier can help with this too. For home remedies, some people use a neti pot for saline rinses. But it's super important to use sterile water for that. And you can also try putting a teeny tiny bit of coconut oil inside your nostrils, just for moisture. The coconut oil works similarly to Vaseline. Mm. It basically creates a barrier to keep moisture in. The key with nasal dryness is to stay on top of it. Keep those nasal passages lubricated so the tissue doesn't dry out and get all irritated and prone to bleeding.
Right on. Okay, let's shift gears and talk about sun sensitivity. This is another biggie with Accutane. Sounds like you can get sunburned way easier while you're on this medication.
Yeah, your skin becomes much more sensitive to the sun, so you gotta be extra careful. The big do here is to cover up. Wear protective clothing whenever you're outside. Mm. And sunscreen is a must. We're talking SPF 30 or higher. Mm. And actually, a lot of people on Reddit even recommend going for SPF 50 plus a SU. And this isn't just for sunny days either. You got to wear it even when it's cloudy because those UV rays can still get you. Reapply every 2 hours, especially if you're sweating or swimming. Oh, and don't forget your lips. Use a lip balm with SPF.
Makes sense. And the don'ts are pretty obvious, I think. No tanning. Whether it's outdoors or in a tanning bed, just don't do it. There was an interesting tip on Reddit, though. Some people suggested taking a break from Accutane for a couple of days before, like, a beach vacation or something, where, you know, you'll be in the sun a lot. But of course, that's something you'd have to talk to your doctor about first.
Right. It goes to show, you know, how sensitive some people get to the sun. If you're going to be outdoors for a long time, it's worth discussing with your doctor. As for natural ways to protect yourself, seek shade. Especially during the hottest part of the day, you can even use a sun umbrella for extra protection.
Good tips. Now, what about joint and muscle aches and even headaches? It seems like a lot of people on Accutane experience some level of pain.
Yeah, it could be a real issue. Lower back pain is especially common, and the dosage of Accutane seems to play a role. Higher dose, more pain. The go-to for pain relief is over-the-counter stuff like ibuprofen, you know, Advil Motrin, or naproxen like Aleve. Interestingly, the YouTube pharmacist said that acetaminophen like Tylenol might not be as effective for muscle and joint pain. He recommended sticking with NSAIDs like ibuprofen or naproxen for those types of aches.
Interesting. So what about exercise? What should people avoid if they're having joint and muscle aches?
Yeah, you definitely want to avoid anything high impact, like intense sports or really strenuous workouts, anything that puts a lot of stress on your joints and muscles. But the pharmacist did say light exercise like walking or some gentle stretching should be okay. Just listen to your body and don't push it. If the pain is really bad, your doctor might lower your Accutane dose. Or in some cases, they might prescribe stronger NSAIDs or even muscle relaxants.
So what about over-the-counter relief? I know people swear by Epsom salt baths for sore muscles.
Right, Epsom salts are great. And then there are topical creams like Icy Hot or Voltaren Gel. Even Arnica cream is sometimes used for muscle soreness and bruising. Making sure you're getting enough vitamin D and calcium is also important. Those are good for bone and muscle health. And I saw one source that mentioned supplements like L-carnitine and glucosamine. People take those for muscle recovery and joint support.
Yeah, I've heard of those. And what about headaches? Are those common with Accutane?
They're fairly common, yeah, but they're usually mild. But here's the thing. If you get a really bad headache, especially if it comes with vision changes, that could be a sign of something serious. It's called intracranial pressure, and it's rare, but it needs immediate medical attention. For regular headaches, staying hydrated is key. And over-the-counter painkillers like acetaminophen, ibuprofen, or naproxen can help. Some people find that a little caffeine or an electrolyte drink can help too, especially for tension headaches or if you're dehydrated. If it feels like a sinus headache, you know, from the nasal dryness, saline spray or a humidifier might help.
Oh, okay. And what about natural headache remedies? Are there things people can try at home?
For sure. Rest is always good. Lie down in a quiet, dark room. You know, try to relax. Some people use peppermint oil in their temples. Oh, and magnesium supplements are sometimes recommended too.
All right, so we've covered a lot of side effects. Now let's talk about some general do's and don'ts for Accutane. These are like the golden rules that kept coming up over and over again.
Absolutely. Let's start with the twos. Always take Accutane with food. And it's best to eat something with healthy fats, like nuts or nut butters, avocados, whole milk, that kind of thing. Fat helps your body absorb the medication better. Hydration is huge too, like seriously huge. Aim for around 64 ounces of water a day. You've got to flush your system. And of course, regular blood tests and follow-up appointments with your dermatologist are non-negotiable. They're watching for any red flags and making sure you're doing okay. And this is so important. If you experience any weird or concerning side effects, tell your doctor immediately. Things like a really bad headache, any changes in your vision, mood swings, unusual fatigue, severe stomach pain, diarrhea, rectal bleeding, yellowing of your skin or eyes, or dark urine. Those are all signs that something could be wrong.
Right. And ladies, listen up. The rules about pregnancy are super strict for a reason. Accutane can cause very serious birth defects, so you have to be on two forms of birth control. You have to keep getting negative pregnancy tests before each refill, and you have to be totally on board with the IPLVG program. If you do get pregnant while on Accutane, even if you were being super careful, stop taking it immediately and call your doctor.
Okay, now on to the don'ts, and this one's the biggest. Don't get pregnant while you're on Accutane, and for a while afterwards. Those birth defects are no joke. You also want to avoid alcohol or at least cut back a lot. It can mess with your liver and raise your cholesterol. And absolutely no vitamin A supplements. That includes things like cod liver oil, which is packed with vitamin A. Taking extra vitamin A on top of Accutane can be toxic. You should also skip other acne treatments, whether it's topical stuff like salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide, or retinol or oral antibiotics. Unless your doctor tells you otherwise.
What about cosmetic procedures, like facials or anything like that?
It's best to hold off on any cosmetic procedures while you're on Accutane and for about 6 months afterwards. Things like waxing dermabrasion laser treatments, chemical peels, piercings, tattoos, even elective surgeries. It's because your skin is more prone to scarring and it might not heal well. Shaving is usually fine, but make sure to moisturize really well afterwards because, you know, dryness.
Right. So what else is on the don't list?
Don't donate blood while you're on Accutane and for at least a month after you finish treatment. Don't share your medication with anyone else. And be super careful about potential interactions with other medications. Things like tetracycline antibiotics, steroid medications, progestin-only birth control pills, St. John's wort, certain seizure medications, or orlistat, which is a weight loss drug, and warfarin, a blood thinner. Always tell your doctor about all the medications you're taking. And lastly, don't skip doses of Accutane. And if you miss a dose, don't double up on the next one. Just take your regular dose.
Got it. Okay, I want to talk about something that popped up a few times in our research. Omega-3 supplements. Some sources mention them in relation to Accutane treatment.
Yeah, that's interesting. There might be some benefits there, but there are also some risks to consider. Some people say that omega-3s can help lower triglyceride levels, which can sometimes be high when you're on Accutane. There's also some thought that they might have a mild anti-inflammatory effect, which could help with muscle and joint pain and maybe even dry eyes. Some people think they might have mood-boosting benefits too. One source mentioned studies showing that taking about 1 gram of omega-3s daily could help with dryness, skin hydration, cholesterol, liver function, joint stiffness, and chylitis. And they even said it might make Accutane absorb better.
Wow, that's a lot of potential benefits. But are there any downsides? Any risks to taking omega-3s while on Accutane?
The biggest risk is the vitamin A in some fish oil supplements, especially cod liver oil. We talked about how important it is to avoid extra vitamin A while on Accutane. So cod liver oil is a big no-no. Omega-3s can also interact with blood thinners. So if you're taking those, you need to be extra cautious and talk to your doctor. And some people get side effects like a fishy aftertaste or an upset stomach. One person on Reddit brought up a good point about the vitamin A in regular fish oil, too. They were worried about getting too much. And then there was a review in 2021 that suggested that while omega-3s might be good for Accutane patients who are at risk for high triglycerides, they might not be necessary for everyone.
So what's the bottom line? Should people on Accutane take omega-3s or not?
The most important thing is to talk to your dermatologist before taking any omega-3s while on Accutane. They can figure out if it's right for you based on your individual situation. If they do recommend it, they'll tell you what type to take and how much. Look for a good quality supplement that's high in EPA and DHA. Those are the good omega-3s. And make sure it's low in vitamin A. Ideally, it should be third-party tested too, you know, to make sure it's pure and high quality. And if you do start taking omega-3s, your dermatologist will probably want to check your blood work regularly. Oh, one tip we found is to keep the capsules in the freezer. That can sometimes help with those fish burps. Nobody wants those.
Uh-huh. Good to know. All right, let's talk about mental health. This is a big one, and I know it's something a lot of people worry about when they're thinking about taking Accutane.
Yeah, it's definitely something to be aware of. Some people on Accutane do experience mood changes, like they might feel depressed or anxious. But whether those changes are directly caused by the medication is still up for debate. Doctors are still studying that. But regardless of the cause, it's super important to pay attention to your mental health while you're on Accutane. Talk to your friends and family, your therapist, if you have one. If you notice any major changes in your mood or how you're feeling, don't hesitate to reach out for professional help. Some people find it helpful to keep a journal, you know, just to track their moods and see if there are any patterns.
There were some discussions on Reddit about Accutane and depression or suicidal thoughts. Some people said that while there were concerns about a link in the past, more recent research hasn't really found a strong connection. But they still stressed the importance of being aware of your own mental state. So let's say someone on Accutane is experiencing some negative mood changes. What should they do?
The first thing is to tell their dermatologist right away, no question. The doctor will need to assess the situation, and they might decide to pause or even stop the Accutane treatment for a while. They might also refer you to a psychiatrist or another mental health professional to get a proper evaluation and treatment. As for over-the-counter options, there's some research suggesting that omega-3s, especially the kind high in EPA, might be helpful for mood. But again, talk to your doctor about that. And it's crucial to avoid St. John's wort because it can interact with hormonal birth control, which is essential for women on Accutane. If you have a diagnosed deficiency, a B-complex vitamin or a vitamin D supplement might help with mood in general. But again, you should talk to your doctor about that.
Okay. So what about natural ways to support mental health while on Accutane? Are there things people can do at home?
Definitely. Therapy or counseling is a great option. Having a strong support network is really important too. Lean on your friends and family. Do things that help you de-stress, like mindfulness or meditation. Having a regular routine can make a big difference too. And make sure you're getting enough sleep. And avoid isolation. Staying connected with people is so important.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to go back to Meg, our hypothetical listener. We know she has asthma and eczema. So what are some specific things she should keep in mind while on Accutane?
So because of Meg's asthma, she needs to be really careful about any changes in her breathing. Respiratory problems are rare with Accutane, but they can happen. It's really important that she keeps taking all her regular asthma medications exactly as prescribed, and she should always have her rescue inhaler handy. A humidifier can be really helpful for people with asthma, too. We've talked about how it helps with dryness, but it also keeps the airways moist.
Okay, and what about her eczema?
With eczema, Meg should expect to have some flare-ups because of the dryness. So moisturizing like crazy is going to be key for her. And if she does get a flare-up, she'll need to use her usual moisturizers and maybe some medicated creams or ointments if her dermatologist has prescribed those. She also needs to be super careful about sun exposure. Accutane makes your skin more sensitive to the sun, and eczema already makes it sensitive, so the combination can be a recipe for irritation and sunburn. When she's choosing sunscreen, she should go for hypoallergenic formulas made for sensitive skin. And it's always a good idea to do a patch test first. You know, just put a little bit on a small area of skin to see how it reacts.
That makes sense. Well, wow, we really covered a lot today. We did a deep dive into all the ins and outs of Accutane treatment. We looked at medical guidelines, user experiences on Reddit, expert advice from a pharmacist on YouTube, and we even thought about specific advice for Meg.
It was pretty thorough. We talked about how to manage dryness in different parts of the body, the importance of sun protection, how to deal with aches and pains, and of course, we talked about mental health. The key takeaway here is to be informed. Be proactive about managing any side effects that come up, and most importantly, keep an open and honest dialogue with your dermatologist throughout your Accutane journey.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Accutane definitely comes with potential side effects, but as we've seen, a lot of them can be managed effectively with a little know-how and by working closely with your doctor. And for many people, the results are worth it. Clear skin can be life-changing.
And that brings us to a final thought for you to ponder. We've seen how varied people's experiences are with Accutane, and we've heard a lot of different advice. So it makes you think, how do we balance those standard medical protocols with personalized self-care? You know, when you're dealing with powerful medications like this. And what other questions do you have now? Maybe about the long-term effects of Accutane or alternative ways to treat acne.
That's something for all of us to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Accutane. Until next time.
See ya.